or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by Dolmire Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dolmire Insurance provides a range of coverage options from home to auto insurance, farm to ranch coverage. You can reach Dolmire Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Oroville at 533-6424. And, of course, we want to thank Ken Clark Trio for supplying us with our theme music every week here on Butte Views and Beyond. I've got a number of interviews lined up for you today. I hope you enjoy today's program. Let's get right to it with a meeting here from the folks over at the Forbay Aquatic Center. I'd like to welcome to the program Brad Cook, Executive Director of the Forbay Aquatic Center. Hey, Brad, how you doing tonight?
Really good, Ray. Thanks for having me.
For sure. I know that it's that time of year again. Things are warming up, obviously. And you guys, kind of exciting. You guys are extending your season this year. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to do a grand a pre-reopening on April 9th extravaganza for just the weekend of the 9th through the 11th. We're going to have a yard sale and sell a bunch of boating equipment.
Nice.
And we're going to have free youth programs for a limited number, the first come, first serve. And then we will really reopen on May 7th.
Okay. So instead of Memorial Day, you're opening on the 7th of May.
Yeah, we're kicking it in a month early because we're seeing that people are really wanting to get out and recreate.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I mean, everybody's scratching. It's just, you know, I think we're about 2 or 3 weeks ahead in the weather. I mean, it's going to be pumping 80, you know, it's going to be hitting almost 80 in the next, before the end of the month.
Oh yeah. Swim season is now a month or two ahead of its normal schedule.
And you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but you guys have a beach.
Yes. We have this imported granite sand beach at the north end of the park. And it's, I think it might be the only beach in Butte County, right?
Yeah, one of them. I think so. Maybe the, I mean, you can guess, I guess you can call a washout on the river a beach, but this is like a real beach.
Yeah, a real beach. Yeah, kids barefoot running in the sand and playing in the water.
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, there's so much more than, you know, obviously there's classes and you have camps and you have rentals and all those things, but, just to come and hang and picnic areas, and you got all the facilities. It's such a really well-maintained, and you got a lot of grass too, which is nice.
Yeah, it's a really, it is a very family-friendly, clean and safe park experience for sure. And this year we're introducing a couple new things this year. We have an aquatic playground. It's an inflatable playground with a slide and other apparatuses, and we think that's going to be a big hit with the kids.
Now, is that going to be like off of the dock there or something?
It'll be out in our little bay, off of the, quite a ways off the dock, and a free-floating play structure.
Oh, play nice. Room. So you can boat out to it or swim out to it and hang out and have fun.
Yeah, we're going to, it's like an island, like a fantasy island world.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. And again, you got this kind of this pre kickoff here on the second weekend of April.
April 9th through the 11th.
Yeah, very good. And the yard sale. So are you selling boats or equipment or everything? Or
We're going to be selling a lot of life jackets.
Okay.
This would be great for families. I mean, we're talking, you know, $5 life jacket and certified life jacket. So we're trying to, with help from the Department of Boating and Waterways, they want to get as many life jackets into families and kids' hands. So we're going to do that.
Oh, that sounds great. That's a great way.
And we will have a few miscellaneous boats and other aquatic apparatus, you know, maybe some sailing equipment. I will have some water ski equipment.
Wow. And
some other random kind of, like you'd see at a yard sale.
Yeah, yeah.
An aquatic yard sale.
There you go. There you go. And plus, you're going to have your rentals available as well that weekend. People can come out and rent a kayak or pedal boat or stand-up paddle board.
Everything's going to be up and running.
Very cool. Everything's up on your website, I take it, forbayaquaticcenter.org?
Yeah, so right now our website is this Monday, the 29th. We will be refreshed, up and running. Summer camp signups can start online on the website. And if there's still room, we have available signups for the April 3rd Wildflower River Float.
Oh, okay.
Those are all sitting on the front page of our website.
Great. And you guys have a really attractive website, by the way. I love the photographs and all that stuff on there. It's just fun. And you can't go out to the Aquatic Center and not come back smiling. That's all there is to it.
That is well put. I agree.
That is it's a happy place. It's a fun place. I've been lucky enough to be out there at sunset, and it's just a beautiful place. Went out last Father's Day and rented kayaks with my son-in-law. It was just great. Just great. Great scene, man.
Another thing that we're kind of reinstalling, which was gone for the last year, is schools are doing field trips again. A little smaller in size, but I am now booking schools if they want to bring classes out.
Wow, that's great. And now you also kind of do some, I don't know if you'd call it private run, but if groups wanted to come out and say, hey, we want to do a kayak run on the river, you guys facilitate that as well?
Oh, yeah. We've been known to bring boatloads over to the Sacramento River and accommodate special groups. And we're trying to get our stuff out to all the local rivers, including we've gone up and done Yuba River floats.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Honestly, it's so great. I know that during Salmon Festival, you extended the whole salmon run thing, and that was so popular that you had not just groups, but, you know, companies, businesses. It's team building and, you know, go out and spend an afternoon out on the Feather River minutes from your home.
With the salmon.
Yeah.
So. And I think that what we're looking for in the fall of 21 is a really expanded salmon tours. So that will be up on the website. And can I do a shout out? Thank you to a couple of our supporters.
Sure. Why not?
The Supplemental Benefit Fund from the city of Oroville has been super helpful to us in sponsoring the purchase of new equipment and stuff. And of course, always the state parks have been amazing, as they are the parents of the Forbay.
Sure.
And they allow us to operate there, and they have been extremely supportive also.
Yeah. And let's give a shout out to Pacifica Senior Living for helping with the shuttle buses.
Oh yeah.
At the Wildflower event. Again, due to COVID, we had some, The usual source, which is the work training center, weren't available. They're doing, you know, obviously with COVID and that. So these guys stepped up and are making it happen. Again, the community coming together to serve the community. What more could you ask for?
And don't forget Explore Butte County also.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys do. I gave them a shout out in the last interview for their Butte Hike CA. So we love those guys. And those guys are always at the center of everything about recreation and tourism here.
So. Yeah, it seems to me that people are coming together more than ever before. The agencies and really putting some effort and monies into the good things we're doing.
Yeah. Now, and, you know, people might not know also, the Brad Freeman Trail runs right to your facility.
Yeah, we have bikes for rent this summer too.
Yeah, that's something new. So you can go rent a mountain bike. Yep. The Brad Freeman Trail and ride up to the Oroville Dam or beyond.
Yeah. And it's the extension of that trail there. They've done some improvements and it's become, I'd call it a mountain bike destination location.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. People are coming from all over.
Yeah, that's honestly, and hopefully you're not far away from having overnight programs and facility rentals as well, because that people might not know that in normal times, that's what you guys do as well.
Yeah, and it looks like once we're hoping that May or June, when we hit the red tier, that we can get back into special event stuff, like we did with KZFR.
Sure.
Moonlight Floats will get back in business as soon as we get down in tiers.
Yeah, we did it. We did an overnight. We did a camp out one time too. That was wild.
You guys did that for the Perseid meteor showers.
Yeah. We partnered with NSPR, and that's I'll tell you, there's countless ways to have fun in Butte County and recreate, and definitely the Four Bay Aquatic Center is right up there.
Well, let's hope we're all camping out again this year.
Yeah, I know it. I haven't been camping in over a year, and I'm ready.
Well, this has been this is really good. I'm glad to have your support too.
Hey, we thank you guys. And again, everything's up on the Four Bay Aquatic Center website. Probably find a link on Facebook as well.
Yes, Facebook and fourbayaquaticcenter.com.
All righty. Thanks so much for taking time tonight, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Ray, very much.
All righty. Thank you, Brad, for taking time today to do that. Let's take a quick musical break, and we'll be talking about Chico Velho, because that time is coming up as well. Dave Douglas there with the Joneses here on KCFR. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond.
I would like to welcome John Pearson to Butte Views and Beyond. He is the executive director at Chico Velho. Welcome to the show.
Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for coming on again. And, you know, it's that time of year. It's if you look anywhere, the flowers are going nuts, and it's wildflower time. And
it is,
you know, I know there's a Wildflower Nature Festival coming up at the in early April. And there's also, of course, the Wildflower Century Ride.
Yeah, we're calling it the Wildflower Adventure this year. And it's a little, not a little, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's really different than what we've done in the past. And, you know, I'll just jump into it if you're ready for that. I mean, like last year with COVID, we had to cancel that. And it was the first time in 39 years, basically, that event had been canceled. And it was a big blow for us because it's really been our main revenue generator for the organization. But bigger than that, it's such a convivial community draw, both for locals and for people coming into the area. And so, you know, we had anywhere from, you know, we'll just do an average of 3,500 people riding in that event on one day, and then all the people that come in along with that. And so to not have that was huge. And so going into this year, we knew for lots of reasons. I mean, things are changing by the day still, and things are evolving a little bit, you know, on the positive level more than they were when we were looking to plan this. But we really, we still wanted to keep things safe, and we still wanted to be responsible with it. So that's where the virtual event came from. And we're doing 2 weeks rather than a weekend. And there's a lot of differences kind of in what we've got planned.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it is, it's a day-to-day thing, and it's great to see things are starting to improve and open up. But again, you got to plan in advance. And I think this is a perfect option, kind of create your own ride, or, you know, get out and enjoy it on your own. So,
you know, I kind of love it, because one of the things that I really learned from all this work from home and virtual kind of, you know, events or conferences or whatever it was last year, is that with a virtual thing, you can actually reach a lot more people, and you can make it a little more customized. So yes, you know, I know it's very different, and some people may not be their thing, but, you know, we have a lot of people out of the area that's saying, like, I'm going to do this, you know, in Southern California, or I'm going to do this up in Bend, or whatever it might be, that aren't traveling, but still get to do something cool and have kind of this, you know, this bridge or this tie-in back to Chico, back to Chico Velo, and just kind of keeping that community love going. So that feels good. And I think whatever happens, we'll always have a virtual component to whatever we do, to just try to bring more people in. You know, not everybody can come every year, but we'd love to reach out to them and make sure that they feel included.
Yeah. And that, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because there's no going back. You just go forward. There's no such thing as going
right
back. Everyone's like, let's go back to normal. There's no such thing as normal, and there's no such thing as going back. So, you know, we've just grown, and
yep,
and things are going to be more inclusive, and people are going to be able to take these things wherever they are. If they're,
yeah,
you know, they could be in on the Jersey Shore and be like, hey, this is going to be my
exactly
bike ride, and you know, I got to go to Chico, you know, back in the day or whatever. And now they're going to go do something else.
You know, and I'm glad you say that, because I really, we've had some, I don't know, it's not conflict, it's not pushback, but we've had some grumblings around, you know, why haven't we done things the same, or, you know, why haven't we done things the way that we've done them for 30 years or whatever it might be. And I really believe that for an organization like Chico Velo that has been around and is what it is for the community, in order to stay sustainable, we have to evolve. And I look at the future, and for an organization like us that has gone through this and is poised for that, being able to pivot and being able to constantly be in that state of evolution, I think is a much healthier place to be, rather than saying, let's go back to this quote unquote normal. And I hope, you know, this idea of collaboration and inclusion continues, because I think, you know, it might be uncomfortable at first, but it's the way to the future, which is, I think, the point that you were making too.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. true that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything has to grow. I mean, you know, I've been involved in festivals for a long time as a participant for 25 years, and then producing them for 10 or 11 years. And you have to keep changing every year. And even some of the ones that, you know, you've kind of got that set template, you know, like this is what the Garlic Festival is, and this is what this is, and this is what that is. You know, after a while, your audience burns out. You go a couple times, and you never have to go again.
Yeah.
And if they don't start to develop and change and grow and expand, then it consumes itself.
Agreed. And we, honest, truthfully, you know, full transparency, we were starting to see that with the Century, with the Wildflower. That type of event really is, it's seen its peak, and it's kind of on a wane phase. And what we need to do as an organization is diversify. So as I'm looking at 2022, we have a much bigger approach and a more varied approach to events once I think we can start gathering in person. But it can't just be the one thing that tries to carry us, because obviously, as we've seen, you know, once that takes a hit, then you're kind of stuck. So I think, you know, virtual and on-road, off-road, gravel, the whole thing, I think there's lots of options, which is why for this year we have 2 weeks. We have basically 3 weekends and a 2-week time period that anybody can do one of the three options to go out there for the Wildflower. So it is very customizable, and it's a real, you know, we call it do it your way, but it's a real cool individual approach to what was normally just on one Sunday a year.
Yeah. Do you want to expand on that? So what could people expect, or what's that 2 weeks look like?
So we've got, I'll kind of start with the overarching. We have three options, and we really wanted to create something that anybody and everybody could be a part of. So our first option is our adventurer, and it really is, we're just trying to be as inclusive as possible, and it's not even about bikes. We just want you to get out there with your friends, with your family, on your own, and just do an adventure. Show us a hike. Show us a, you know, you roller skating through the park. Show us something great where you're outdoors enjoying spring. And, you know, if you go on and you buy an adventure ticket, we're going to send you a Wildflower t-shirt no matter what. And so that's just kind of the big, like, big, huge bucket. Everybody's involved. Let's get people going. Our second option is our scavenger. And that's a really cool, like, 19-mile kind of loop locally here in Chico. It's literally a scavenger hunt. You go around, you hit these cool things, you see cool sights. You get a t-shirt, but you also get a clean canteen custom cup with all the Wildflower graphics on there. And, you know, I love this type of event because it really does lend itself to groups and get your friends together. It doesn't matter what kind of bike you have. It doesn't matter if everybody's on bikes or skateboards or whatever. Just go out there and hit some of these spots and have some fun and be active. And I think, you know, one of the things we've talked about is we have seen a lot of people go to the bike for recreation and for safe, you know, distance enjoyment outdoors. And the last thing I want to see is that to stop. So we're just trying to keep people moving.
Sure.
And then our third option is what we're calling the enthusiast. It's just kind of, it's not even a high ticket compared to what we normally have. But that one is, we've got a lot of people and a lot of love for the Wildflower routes that we have here in this region. And so what we're encouraging you to do, this is a fully unsupported, you know, there's no rest stops, there's no food, there's, you know, we're not setting up bathrooms. So it's really a kind of an adventure for sure, but an individual adventure out there. but ride your favorite route anywhere from 30 to 125 miles, take some pictures, and you're going to get a custom hat, custom shirt, Velo socks, you're going to get all the swag. But I think this is a great one just to kind of continue that legacy of what the Wildflower traditionally has been, but do it in a way that maybe there's less barrier of entry. You know, I know a lot of times it was kind of intimidating that there was this big ride and all these quote unquote cyclists were out there. And I think some of the newer people to cycling or some of the more, you know, lone wolf types from cycling, that wasn't their gig. And so I hope over these 2 weeks, that there is some encouragement to go out there and do some of this that maybe wasn't. And I know there's a spin class right now of In Motion planning to do some of these rides in the class to kind of get people trained up and ready to go. There's lots of things just trying to help people, you know, get out there and do what they can. And the cool thing is, like, all that to say, it's really just about getting Chico Velo to the finish line. Like, if we can have help, if there's donations, if you buy a t-shirt, if you, you know, any way that you can support this organization, we're just trying to get to 2022 and kind of get back to that really familiar in-person gig. But we won't be able to do that with your support, without that support, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I love the fact that you have, like you said, the, you know, local sports clubs. It's like, hey, come train for this and that.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'm kind of a lone wolf kind of guy. I mean, I like that idea. You know, I get a little intimidated, you know, it's like, wow, these guys all got like matching Lycra outfits on.
Yeah.
Really, you know, their bike costs more than my car. However, you know, I still like to be out there and, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's good.
That's really what we're trying to kind of move the needle on as an organization. You know, I don't want to have us known just as a bike club, and I don't want it just known as kind of the roadie thing. I think, you know, we've got Trailworks, which is a really amazing trail stewardship program that does a lot of the work on the mountain bike trails and hiking trails in Upper Bidwell. You know, so we have a lot of these touch points, and, you know, I myself am a lone wolf. I love to go out and just do an adventure and just see what happens. And I think that's the kind of open arms we want to have moving forward and not just make it so specific or exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's great. Honestly, you know, right away I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, 2022. And, you know, You know, as you know, we've talked numerous times and are involved in other things besides just in the recreation field. But, yeah. You know, and I just had a call with Brad over at the Aquatic Center about an hour ago. And I'm thinking, oh, there you go. Come do the Wildflower. And next day you can go kayak the Feather River. One total package.
I love that. Yeah, no, that'd be great. And I think, you know, that's that collaboration spirit that I think we've seen. And I, you know, everybody's got to be in it together to make this next step work. And we all kind of have to be honestly on the same page about things, about what's safe and how we're working together, but how we support this region as a group, I think is really important.
Yeah. That's really it, because, you know, individually it's always been, and you know, these things have been attempted before, but never with the urgency of 2020 that 2020 required to really right. collaborate. And I think that is the great gift out of this. I think, for humanity, that we just have to work together more.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I really have a mantra that, you know, growth comes from struggle, and we have all shared a struggle. And I think to make that any sort of value, we all have to grow from it. And I think growing together is just as important as anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, so let's give them the information, chicovelo.org. Is that the place to go?
So you can go there, but it will actually link to the standalone site of wildflowercentury.org. And that's okay. wildflowercentury.org. But you can get there from the Chico Velo site. And then on the Wildflower site, you know, you've got ways to donate if you don't even want to ride. You've got ways to, you know, learn about what each option is. We've listed up the routes for the enthusiasts. And then here shortly, we're going to put up our scavenger hunt route so you can do that. And maybe you can take that and, you know, do parts of it or do a version of that in your own community, whatever that is. So all the information is on there. Just a regular plug, within the next week or so, we're going to have some new updated logos for Chico Velo up on that website too. So we got some pretty cool stuff moving, both on the Velo side, but certainly the Wildflower stuff is pretty kick-ass this year.
All right. That sounds great. And I know everybody likes cool swag. And, you know, honestly, the development of logos and swag is like going off the hook these days. So it's pretty fun.
It really is. I know. Yeah.
What's the official date of this year's event?
So we're going to kick it off on April 24th, I believe, is that Saturday. I'm going to double check my numbers here. So yeah, April 24th, we're kicking it off, and we're going to go through that weekend, the following 2 weeks, and then May the 9th, basically, is a Sunday. That will be the last day of quote-unquote the event. So you got 3 weekends. We're hoping to be out and about during that time, so there's a lot of time to get out there. We will have some more information coming. Maybe we'll do some prizes on the routes during some of those weekends. So we have some more things to kind of drop between now and the time that we kick this off. So stay tuned for some cool stuff.
All right. That sounds great. And again, wildflowercentury.org is where all the information lives. So, John, thank you so much again. I totally appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Great. Always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.
Another fun Wildflower coming, but a little different this year. You know, the fun thing is if you have friends that would come in from out of town, they could stay home and you can all do it together on your own, in your own neighborhoods, in your own area, and have a Zoom party afterwards. So we'll be back after a quick musical break here on Butte Views and Beyond.
Come on, everybody. Let's get down and dance one time.
Okay, it's time to dance.
Of your boots and the truck on down, feel a knock out jack on the edge of town. At 8 feet, come with it, just won't quit. Keep on a walk until you see a blue light lit. All in the red will see sunshine. Down at the house of blue lights for the providers, broilers, and Detroit barbers. You with but the cheek, and when they're serving them fine, you're gonna spend all the rest of your life. And at the house of blue lights, we'll have a time, it'll come.
Hudson Row. How we beat those two like a shipping duck. It's a real homecoming for all of those cats. And then you boogie woogie pass the weather man. All in the rainbow trees on the side. Then at the house of blue light. Yeah!
Boogie woogie there to get you going here on Butte Views and Beyond. Wild Man, Big Ray, and Asleep at the Wheel with the House of Blue Lights. All right, let's get ready for our next interview. Had a nice little art segment before, and let's revisit some more arts here in our area.
Welcome to the program. Deborah Lucero, Executive Director of the Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation, also known as Friends of the Arts. Butte County's state-local partner to the California Arts Council. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
All righty. You, Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation, was able to receive some funding, I understand, through the CARES Act, and some of those funds were distributed to some of our local organizations. You want to tell us a little about that?
Yeah, we were really excited. This was a program that the California Arts Council put together with CARES Act funding. And the idea was that these funds that were released to state local partners throughout the state of California, we have 54 state local partners in California, and they would be utilized for groups and organizations that typically may not receive arts funding. They specifically targeted to people of color or underserved populations. And so we were excited to extend these grants. They were $3,500 a piece. The first one went to Ballet Folklorico of Chico. And this group, many people, I don't know if you remember clear back to the days of Chico Palio, but this group has performed in many, many venues all over. They service about 25 people that are involved in this group, ages 3 years old all the way up to 22 years old. They are Mexican, Mexican-American, and African-American. And they're primarily from Oroville, Chico, Orland, and Hamilton City. They told me that they would be using these funds to purchase costumes, offer fee waivers, artist payment, and basically just have a basic budget to travel to location. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and they basically performing their native dance and music. For those that aren't familiar with it.
Correct. Yes. The philosophy. Yes. Thank you for that. Basically, it's a nonprofit dance company, and it's directed by Frances Miranda. And her whole goal is to really utilize the performance of art and culture as a way to celebrate and empower the Latino community. And she likes to say that culture cures. La cultura cura. So she focuses on celebrating the roots, the Latino roots, while creating a strong sense of belonging. So that was our first grant. Our second grant went to Carnella Marks and a new group that is forming out of Oroville called Restoring Our Community. And she is working with African American youth to utilize theater to talk about nutrition and the body. And so it was so interesting because she said that they have been trying to make costumes that look like different body parts. And when they went online to try to find body parts like the liver and the lungs, the only thing they could find was the heart. And so they've been trying to make these, and this $3,500 is going to go a long way for their group. She's very excited, and they're kind of just getting started on the costumes, but it will also help with creating, buying all of the materials necessary for this theatrical performance that they're going to put together.
Well, that sounds really fun, and that'd be something to look forward to in the future. Restoring Our Community, is that the name of it?
Yes, the Restoring Our Community. It's a brand new nonprofit. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And yeah, it's kind of a spinoff through the African American Cultural Center.
Sure. Okay. Very good.
And then the next grant was to Allie Meters Knight, who is a local Machupta and Native American artist. And you may remember she has done several murals around the area, beautiful murals. And she's working on one right now at 2nd Street and Cedar. On one side of the building is a brand new mural by Shane Grammer. And that one is dedicated to missing and murdered Indigenous women. And she was supposed to be doing that side, but she actually gave that wall to Shane Grammer when she heard about his project and his wall that he had, the landlord he was working with before, the wall fell through. So she offered up that wall for him. So her mural is actually on the other side of that wall. And she's going to be, and some of it's painted. So it's 110 feet long, and it's a village scene. There's a roundhouse. And Christian Garcia is also involved. They're going to be really displaying the Maidu Machupta culture on the wall. So it's going to be a beautiful project. And she, too, was awarded $3,500.
Oh, very good. And who are the last recipients?
The last recipient is the Hmong Cultural Center in Oroville. And they have such fabulous programming over there for Hmong youth. They have arts activities. They also have traditional dance. And many times they are in need of purchasing costumes. They're very beautiful, elaborate, and pleasant sounding costumes. I don't know if you've ever seen a Hmong dance, but there's tinkling and beautiful headdress and all of that. And all of that is expensive. So they are looking at putting this towards supplies and possible costuming, and they too received a $3,500 grant.
Oh, that's great. I mean, as everything changes, we start to open up again. We'll start seeing some of these groups out in public again. That's exciting. But just to reinvest in the community, and I love the fact that it's throughout the county. You know, it's very, very well distributed.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. And you know, the idea behind the Arts Council was to create some equity in getting dollars, CARES Act funding to communities of color, and to make sure that that these folks are at the table when money like this comes down the pike. So I'm hoping this is the beginning of a granting program through the state that will continue to focus on groups such as these.
Yeah,
and then another really exciting thing that we were just involved with was the Poetry Out Loud competition, which happens every year through the Arts Council, the California Arts Council, and then by extension through all of the partners throughout the state of California, which usually includes the state local partners. And we actually work with BCOE, the Butte County Office of Education, and Mary Ellen Garrigy, who is the one who handles this. She does a fabulous job for Butte County Office of Ed. And this year's winner is Chloe Bryant Coots from Las Plumas High School.
Oh, wow.
And she went on to participate, and everything's virtual, of course. So she participated. Usually the students actually travel to the state capitol. They perform in legislative chambers. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's a very, very cool program. They didn't get that part of it this year, but I'm hoping that this next year it'll return to normal and we'll continue to grow this program. Currently, South County is very involved. We have Gridley and Oroville participating. I don't know if we had any Chico schools this year. I don't remember seeing high schools from Chico, but I could be wrong on that.
Right. I know Gridley's been very involved for years in this. That's kind of,
yes,
kind of their thing. So it's nice that it jumped over to LP.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. South County's getting it together when it comes to poetry. So hopefully we will also see it move to North County.
Right. And that's and it really is. It's the teachers' involvement that helped really, get this thing moving down the road for these students. So that's great to see.
Yeah. You know, Poetry Out Loud, a lot of people don't really understand what it is, but it's really, while it's definitely about literature and it's designed to get students excited about the printed word and literary works and poets, it's also quite theatrical. And so a lot of times these students will be coached on how to express themselves during a reading and how to engage the audience. So the drama of it all, the theatrical part of it all is also very important. So it's important when a school signs on that they have active theater teachers and people that are involved on that side of it, as well as the literature side. And sometimes it's actually coming out of a drama department versus, say, the English department.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much, Deborah. We really appreciate you taking time today to join us on Butte Views and Beyond. It's always nice to have you on.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate KZFR and the love that it has for our community.
All right.
I share that.
And we feel the same about the good work being done at Friends of the Arts. Take care.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Yet another thing happening right here in Butte County. And we just keep spreading it. All right, we're going to take one more musical break, and then we'll come back with our last interview for the evening with Victoria Anton, talking about the Wildflower and Nature Festival that's coming on April 3rd. We are finally getting back to having some wonderful outdoor activities. Let's take a little music break, and we'll be right back. All right, the big fat man, doing their version of Comes Love here on Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for tuning in. We totally appreciate it. Peanut Butter and Jelly Time will be coming up next, but let's hear what's coming up on April 3rd, Wildflower and Nature Festival coming to Riverbend Park in Oroville.
I'd like to welcome our next guest, Victoria Anton, Executive Administrator with the Feather River Parks and Recreation District. We've been talking to you a little bit, had you on last month, because lo and behold, you guys have an event coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we sure do, Ray. Thank you so much for having me again. I look forward to telling you a little bit more about the event coming up on April 3rd. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, it's the return of the 13th annual Wildflower and Nature Festival. It's going to be at Riverbend Park, right off of Highway 70 in Oroville. There is no charge for the event. It's totally open, totally family-friendly. It'll have all of the state health requirements involved. And it's just great to see something happening, and the weather looks fantastic.
Yes, it does. I believe we're looking at a high of 77 so far. That's what the forecast is saying, and it's great because we're going to have so much going on, including the Four Bay Aquatic Center is going to be out there offering some kayak tours. They have registration open online right now, and those spots are filling up really fast. And we're also going to have some live performances throughout the day at our new amphitheater there. The Strung Nugget Gang is going to be joining us, as well as the Feather River Gypsies. We'll also have some food vendors and some incredible local businesses and local agencies providing materials, selling handmade items. Some really unique people are coming out this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun event because it really kind of, it involves so many things at once. You know, I mean, in normal years, you know, you've had shuttle buses up to Table Mountain, you know, and a lot of you've had the Barks and Rec. Obviously this year it's a little different. We're keeping a little distance and not having central crowd gathering locations, but it really kind of kicks off just springtime in the North State and all the wonderful things that there are to do. And it's great that a lot of these organizations will have a booth at this event.
Absolutely.
I know that the Explore Butte County just launched their Hike Butte CA program, which we talked to Carolyn a couple of programs ago, which is a fun way to load it onto your phone. And it's got 35 hikes throughout Butte County, and you check them off as you go. You get swag. It's on the Explore Butte County website. And again, the wildflowers are just exploding everywhere you look. You can't go anywhere. Table Mountain, I just saw some photos posted this morning from Table Mountain, is in full bloom. So great time to get out. Come over to Oroville, check out the beautiful Riverbend Park, which is now completely renovated, I understand.
Yes, it is. The park is finally finished after the renovation project after the 2017 spillway incident. I'm sure many, many listeners remember the park being underwater for over 3 weeks, quite a bit of water. So we have worked with our insurance agency as well as FEMA to restore the park. And we've done some really good improvements, including we've extended that beach area. We did put in a new Bear Rock play area. And then obviously the amphitheater is incredible out there. We're so excited to finally get to use it.
Yeah, and it's great to have both the Feather River Gypsies and Strung Nugget, two fun bands. One a little jazzy, as you can imagine, a little gypsy jazz, and then a great bluegrass band as well. So our friend Brett is hosting those. That's going to be really fun. And again, it's just nice to be out and see things, and also different organizations and handcrafted booths with, you know, handcrafted artisans selling their ware, which they haven't been able to do for quite a while.
Yeah, everyone's very excited for the event and being able to have opportunity to vend again.
Yeah, and there's no charge for parking or entry. It's totally family friendly. And you know, it's one of those things, go, you know, come over in the morning and then head up to Table Mountain or vice versa, or, You know, the Brad Freeman Trail runs right there along the river. You can hike all the way up to Oroville Dam if you'd like. And there's also mountain biking as well on that trail.
Yeah, there's tons of opportunity. There's also shopping downtown Oroville as well. There's some nice restaurants and different opportunities for shopping down there.
Yeah, in beautiful historic downtown Oroville. It's like going back into the early 1900s. Really is really fantastic that so much of the architecture has remained, and it's just a cool place to hang. And again, that's right down on the end of Montgomery Street. Riverbend Park is right. Get off at Montgomery Street, you take a right, you hit the river, that's the park. And then if you walk 20 minutes down Montgomery Street, you'll be in downtown. So it's a real easy way to go. And if you keep going past the downtown, it'll take you up to the fish hatchery where you can park and walk along the diversion dam and that. That's another really beautiful area. So great way to come out, enjoy spring, come visit Oroville and check out the Wildflower and Nature Festival. You guys have a website, Facebook page? What are we doing for details?
Yeah, so details can be found on our website at www.frrbb.com. And we also have a Facebook page that we'll be posting shortly here. We'll be posting the schedule of the events and a vendors list so people can get an idea of who's going to be out there during the day, and that is the Feather River Recreation and Park District page. You can follow us there.
All right, great. And I understand you also, you know, again, this is such a community event. We've had some, there will be a shuttle bus provided for the kayak float. And due to COVID, there has been some restrictions at the Work Training Center, who is our usual, usually provides the shuttle bus service for events. But the Pacifica Senior Living Center in Oroville has stepped up and is providing that service for us, which is just it just shows, you know, the community comes together. You know, we get together and we can handle anything.
Yeah, we really do.
So we really, really appreciate their help. And also Explore Butte County always at the cutting edge of really everything that's happening here. In the areas of recreation and tourism around the county. So we always appreciate their assistance, and they just bring so much fun stuff out there as well. Again, if you haven't checked out the Hike Butte CA program, it's really fun. Load it on your phone, and it's amazing how many wonderful outdoor activities we have here. So once again, it's the Wildflower and Nature Festival. Saturday, April 3rd, 10 to 4. Is that right?
Yep, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll be out there all day.
All righty. Well, thank you, Victoria, for taking time to be with us today. And we'll see you at the festival.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I hope everybody can join us.
All righty. And check them out on Facebook and also at the Feather River Parks and Rec District website. Just Google it up. Take care now.
Alrighty, thanks again for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. We'll be back next month, fourth Thursday of the month, and peanut butter and jelly time is coming right up. We'll thank our underwriters, and we'll get back to it. Again, a lot of things happening. The weather is broken and perfect. I think we're definitely heading into spring is here, and you know what's coming next. So. Great opportunities to get out, and this is why we live here, because of the beauty, the outdoor recreational activities, and the community, also the beautiful atmosphere, small-town atmosphere of Chico. So we're so lucky to have all those things. All right, I'd like to thank Chico Hearing Aid, celebrating 70 years of changing lives through better hearing. Chico Hearing Aid is committed to serving the community with hearing issues. To schedule an initial hearing evaluation, Chico Hearing Aid can be reached at 342-8132. And we'd also like to thank Baker's Birkenstock in Chico and Paradise, open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sundays 11 to 5, 11 to 4 in Paradise. Face masks, social distancing, sanitized hands are required. There's also curbside pickup available at either location. Details on Facebook and at chicobirkenstock.com or at 345-4880. Again, thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a lovely evening. Great time to go out and get a walk in or maybe ride that bike, take the kids out, get some air. So stay tuned for Peanut Butter and Jelly Time, and we're going to go out with our closing music from the Ken Clark Trio.
Listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is, well, Sandra, but I'm your groovy grandma, and it is time for peanut butter jelly.
It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time!
Peanut butter jelly time!
Hey, yeah. There you go!
Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Peanut butter jelly.